This is 1A. I'm Joshua Johnson. New York's theater elite just handed out the Tony Awards. But the big story everyone's talking about on the stage is Julius Caesar. A production at the renowned Public Theater is in the middle of a public controversy that's cost it two major sponsorships and drawn fire from some conservatives. Perhaps it's no surprise, a political scuffle over a deeply political tragedy.
Men at some time are masters of their fates. The fault, dear Brutus, is not in our stars, but in ourselves that we are underlings. Brutus and Caesar. What should be in that Caesar? Why should that name be sounded more than yours?
The Public Theater's Shakespeare in the Park depicts Julius Caesar as a decidedly Trump-like character. Spoiler alert, things don't end well for Mr. Caesar. But how should performing artists deal with real-life controversial figures like President Trump? Joining us to discuss it for the remainder of the hour is Jesse Green. He's the co-chief theater critic for the New York Times, and he joins us from NPR in New York. Jesse, welcome to 1A.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Also with us from NPR in New York is Kyle Smith, the critic at large for the National Review and theater critic for the New Criterion. Kyle, welcome.
Hi, thanks.
Also with us is Jacqueline Lawton, a playwright and professor of playwriting, play analysis, and theater for social change at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. We were just there last week, and she joins us from WUNC Public Radio in Chapel Hill. Professor Lawton, welcome.
Hello, thanks so much for having me.
And alongside the professor at WUNC is Mike Wiley, an actor, playwright, and documentarian whose work focuses on African-American history. Mike, glad to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
Jesse Green, let me start with you. You reviewed the Public Theater's production of Julius Caesar, depicting Caesar in a very Trump-like way. Generally speaking, what did you think of the play?
Well, Julius Caesar is a play that, even absent political interpretations of it, has its problems. So I still have those problems with it. As with many of the Shakespeare tragedies, you know, it begins with the astonishing language and ends with a bloodbath. Not so dramatic once the assassination happens. But as a production for the Public Theater to put on in New York at this time, I strongly supported it.
And Kyle, what'd you think?
To me, the main problem I have with the Trumpified Julius Caesar is it's just too obvious, right? Oscar Eustis is the director of this production and the artistic director of the Public Theater, and he said he basically woke up the morning of November 9th and said, I have to do it this way. Well, to me, this is the very most obvious idea that the dumb guy next to you in the bar would come up with if you told him, hey, I'm a theater director and I do Shakespeare and I'm doing Julius Caesar. The very first thing out of this guy's mouth at the bar would be, won't you do it as Trump? I mean, Trump is all anyone has talked about in this country for the last 2 years, and if anything, I'd like to get a break from Trump when I go to the theater.
I just want to be clear, though. Both of you have seen the play, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
Also should mention there are plenty of other Julius Caesars in the last few years that have taken likely figures from politics or social figures and made them their Caesars. So it's not exactly new, not only recently, but in the hundreds of years since the play was written.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you about that, Jesse. As I understand it, there was a production of Julius Caesar that depicted the Caesar character more like President Barack Obama.
Yes, several years ago there was, and as it happens, that was by a group called the Acting Company, which among whose supporters are both Delta and the Bank of America, who didn't seem to quail at being associated with that production. There was a famous Orson Welles production in which the Caesar character was Mussolini. There was a recent production in which Caesar was a woman and all the conspirators were men, so that told its own kind of story. This is a play that has been more interpreted than left alone.
Kyle, you've argued that depicting Julius Caesar as Donald Trump is boring, in your words. Do you think, though, that the comparison to Julius Caesar is apt?
Not really. I think, there's really one tool in the artist's toolbox these days, and it's a hammer, and they're trying to bash Trump with this one hammer they have. You know, you could just as easily make the case that Mark Antony is more of a demagogue than Julius Caesar is. He's the one who sort of rouses the crowd and sort of the dramatic action turns on him. And yet Mark Antony in this play is played by a woman who's in a pantsuit. And you know, when everything has to be filtered through this one lens that everyone's obsessed with, it doesn't necessarily serve the material. If I go to see Shakespeare in the Park, I want to see Shakespeare in the Park and not sort of be browbeaten about Trump one more time.
Well, I just want to make sure I'm clear on exactly what your complaint is. Is the problem that Donald Trump is not an apt comparison to Julius Caesar? You mentioned Mark Antony being played by a woman in a pantsuit. I'm not clear on what your problem with that is specifically. That it's too non-traditional?
I don't think this play has anything to do with Donald Trump. I think you're imposing the evening headline news on something where it doesn't belong.
Jesse, what did you think? Do you think that Donald Trump is the right character to put in the Julius Caesar role? I mean, Julius Caesar in the beginning of the play is a very noble military figure. They offer him the crown three times and he rejects it three times. Like, he's this paragon who kind of gets screwed in political skullduggery. Do you think the comparison is apt?
I agree with Kyle that it isn't very apt in many ways. It's apt in certain ways, but that is not the only reason that you do a Julius Caesar and that you attach a contemporary concept to it. What I think Oscar Eustace was after, and what I think was useful to me as a viewer and to many people who attended, but clearly not everybody, is providing in Julius Caesar a way for people who are troubled by the current administration to think about what it means to resist, how far it's safe to resist, what are the unintended consequences of resistance, and what are the motives for resistance. The conspirators who assemble to assassinate Caesar in Julius Caesar are quite a mixed bag of types, some of whom are acting out of what they believe to be patriotism, and others who are clearly acting out of self-interest, and others who are just sort of swayed by the rhetoric of the ones who have stronger feelings. And I think that these are useful questions for the public theater to put before us, and if doing so means pushing a little too hard on a comparison that isn't always apt, that's okay with me.
We're talking about theater and the performing arts in these politically charged times, particularly a production of Shakespeare's Julius Caesar depicting Caesar as a very Donald Trump-like character, with Jesse Green of the New York Times, Kyle Smith of the National Review, and with you. Share your questions and thoughts not only on this production, but about performing arts in today's political climate. How do you think performing artists are doing in terms of creating parallels and allegories to reflect today's times? Do you think that it was the right decision or the wrong decision? For that matter, are you tired of these allegories? Maybe you see it the way Kyle sees it and think that maybe it just is too blunt an instrument and it gets kind of overused and you want a little more creativity from the theater. Let us know what you think. Comment on our Facebook page, tweet us at 1A or email 1A@WAMU.org. Jesse mentioned Oscar Eustace, who is the director of the play and the artistic director of the public theater. He spoke yesterday at the show's opening in Central Park.
When we hold the mirror up to nature, often what we reveal are disturbing, upsetting, provoking things. Thank God, that's our job. Anybody who watched this play tonight, and I'm sorry, there's going to be a couple of spoiler alerts here, but we'll know that neither Shakespeare nor the public theater could possibly advocate violence as a solution to political problems, and certainly not assassination. This play, on the contrary, warns about what happens when you try to preserve democracy by non-democratic means. And again, spoiler alert, it doesn't end up too good.
That's Oscar Eustace, the director of this production of Julius Caesar by the Public Theater, speaking yesterday at the show's debut in Central Park. Professor Jacqueline Lawton, let me come to you. What do you think of Mr. Eustace's comments as it relates to this whole controversy?
I absolutely agree with him 100%. I believe that theater is a space that holds multiple truths, and with political theater, we're able to bear witness, excavate the forgotten and disenfranchised from history, hold our leaders to account for their actions and inactions, and we're able to show a way forward. Specifically with Julius Caesar, that way forward is one of great caution against violence, specifically regicide. So I agree with him 100%.
Mike Wiley, what about you? How does this whole controversy strike you as a performer, as someone who's trying to create artwork, particularly artwork that does reflect our times and our culture and our society?
Well, I think that we've gotten to a place where we've got to stop treading so lightly. We can't be sheepish or ambiguous in our work. We have to speak unabashed truth to power. And this is the way to do it. I have to also say, let me just give you a couple of adjectives here. Susceptible to flattery, vain, arrogant. Those adjectives apply to whom? Julius Caesar, right? So we have to look at that play for what it is. It's not that Eustace was trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. I think that he had to do it this way. I don't agree that perhaps it's a dumb move. I think that his audience has expected it, and we have to do what our audiences want.
Kyle, what do you think? Isn't there an aspect of the audience that the Public Theater deals with that might have really benefited from seeing this kind of portrayal reflected as they saw it, particularly with President Trump in the Caesar role?
Well, you're really preaching to the choir when you do a Manhattan production that spends a great deal of time and energy making fun of Donald Trump. I mean, they have him joking about killing somebody on Fifth Avenue. We see him with a Slavic wife. We see him humiliated, getting out of a bathtub naked. And this is all played for laughs. And we're supposed to sort of turn on a dime and be shocked by the assassination. But, you know, when you're dealing with the sort of liberal Manhattan audience, everybody hates Trump. You're not speaking truth to the power.
Well, but wait, well, but wait a minute.
The audience is on your side.
Well, but wait a minute. With the example of Fifth Avenue, Donald Trump himself at a rally in Iowa said to the crowd, "I could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody, and I wouldn't lose voters." Those are his words.
Well, of course he did. Everyone knows what Donald Trump says. The guy's an idiot. I mean, I'm not here sitting and defending Donald Trump, but you have, I didn't vote for Donald Trump, but you have Oscar Eustace saying that the purpose of art is to be disturbing and provocative. How about not being boring? How about not being predictable? I mean, I'm looking at the theater listings online today, and I'm seeing in Santa Barbara, there's Zombie Clown Trump, an apocalyptic musical. Robert Schenken's Building the Wall is about a futuristic Trump dystopia that has turned into a sort of Nazi regime. 1984 is back on Broadway, and that's supposed to be Trump-inflected. Manhattan Repertory Theater is doing a play called The Bigot, which is about Trump. Heartbreak House up in Hartford, the main character, the main businessman character, is played as Trump. There's a musical review about Trump. I could go on and on and on. That's all anyone is thinking about. For 2 years, all anyone has talked about in this country is Donald Trump. Are we that boring a country that we only have one subject of conversation and there's only one subject of the culture?
Well, a number of our listeners seem to think that there is some value to this, at least. Allison tweeted us, "Shakespeare is always relevant. We are all struggling to find allegorical references." Howard tweeted us, "Politics, morality, and theater have been intertwined since the days of ancient Greece. There's no cogent reason for theater to stop now." Professor Lawton, I think they're both correct. I mean, certainly Greek theater has always been political. Even Italian Commedia dell'arte, these comedies about the wealthy and their peccadilloes and their hypocrisy, politics has always been part of theater. Is this kind of an overblown controversy?
Overblown. I think that it's a controversy that's ill-informed. And I think that it's a controversy that's stoked by knee-jerk outrage. And a Google search would have helped people understand what the play was, you know, doing and talking about. But I think, you know, some of the framing here, I think, is limiting. It's not a question of, is this a boring choice, or is Donald Trump or any president fair game, or is this over the line? I don't think these are the key questions that should be asked. I think what we should be asking is, when we portray the role of Caesar as a person in a powerful position, what are we learning about order and justice? What are we learning about the fabric of democracy? And I think it's really great, what you were saying. What does it mean to resist? What are the multiple forms and means of resistance? What are the consequences, unintended and intended? And I think that anyone seeing this play who has thoughts of regicide, right, who has thoughts of responding with violence to preserve democracy and the sanctity of this republic, will leave knowing what a horrible, horrible misguided idea that is. The play teaches us, as do the deaths of hundreds upon hundreds of thousands of black men at the hands of police and racial violence, that in this country, we value order over justice. So if we listen to this play and learn from this play and apply the lessons gained from this play, we will understand that Trump is here for his 4 to 8 years is up, or until the order of democracy rules him out. And that, I think, is a useful contemplation for us to have.
Let's get into a few more of our comments from our listeners. We asked our listeners what they thought about the role of theater and performing arts as it relates to the intersection with today's politics. Here's one response that a listener left in our inbox.
My name is Carl. I'm a musician and a writer in Durham, North Carolina. And I believe artists should be skeptical of all politicians, this president, past presidents, and future presidents. Unfortunately, the artistic community has gone from being anti-establishment, which I am, to being pretty much anti-Republican. Many of the same artists attacking Trump also demonized a very moderate candidate like Mitt Romney. I say criticize, but criticize everybody, because they all richly deserve it. Thank you.
Carl, thanks for your comment. Mike, what do you think? Do you think that artists are focusing a little bit too much on certain politicians, or should the focus really be broader than that?
No, I don't think that artists are focusing too much on certain politicians. I think that those artists that are focusing on certain politicians are just like the squeaky wheels that are just getting the grease. Artists are focusing on all politics, all social aspects. Artists are, especially artist activists, are focusing on what's happening in our communities. Often, it's just that this particular situation with the public has gotten bigger than it really should be. And that's due to Delta and Bank of America not doing, as Jacqueline said, a mere Google search to understand what the play itself is about. I think that at the end of the day, artistry can be activism, and many of us do that, but a lot of artists do not.
Well, a number of our listeners certainly have some mixed opinions about this, particularly the sponsorship piece. James tweeted, "Who are the sponsors who bailed? I'd like to boycott them if that's a possibility." We'll get more into the implications of this, especially whether or not the relationship between the sponsors and the arts plays a role into all of this. We're speaking to Kyle Smith, the critic at large for the National Review, Jesse Green, co-chief theater critic for the New York Times, actor and playwright Mike Wiley, and UNC Chapel Hill playwriting professor Jacqueline Lawton. We'll get to more of your questions and comments and thoughts about Julius Caesar depicted as Donald Trump and art, performing arts, in the age of Donald Trump. Stay close. Before we get back to our conversation, we would love your help with tomorrow's program about social media influencers. Donald Trump's victory in the election came in large part because of his strategy on Twitter, Facebook, and other social media. But he's not the only one using the web to make change or make money. People from many walks of life are using these services, including Instagram, to help brands promote their products, and they're making money for it. Have you ever bought or tried a product or service because someone you follow on social media recommended it? How did their influence affect you? Leave us a voicemail, 855-236-1A1A, and press option 2. Have you ever bought a product or tried a service because someone you follow on social media recommended it? Tell us your story. 855-236-1A1A. That's 855-236-1212, and press option 2. You can also record yourself and email the audio file to 1A@WAMU.org. We'll break down how social media influencers do what they do and share some of your stories tomorrow on 1A. Back now to our conversation about theater and politics with New York Times co-theater critic Jesse Green, National Review critic Kyle Smith, playwright Jacqueline Lawton, also a professor at UNC Chapel Hill, and actor and playwright Mike Wiley. Karen emailed us, "I'm most decidedly not a fan of Donald Trump. I did not vote for him. I do not believe in his policies. However, I do believe that the President of the United States deserves a certain level of respect. Depicting Julius Caesar as Donald Trump goes over the line." Jesse Green, was there any piece of the public theater's depiction of President Trump that you thought went over the line?
There were certainly elements that flirted with it. The presentation of him as a kind of comical figure for most of the first part of the play is not terribly offensive, I think, even possibly to fans of Donald Trump. He's presented as a kind of self-aware character. But, you know, an assassination is an assassination. Not undeliberately. The version of it staged here is extremely violent and bloody. And when in the famous oration scene that Mark Antony delivers, he is brought out, instead of performing the stage direction implicit in the Shakespeare, which is to lift up the garment that Caesar was wearing and show all the holes in it from where the assassins stabbed through it. In this production, the body of Caesar is wheeled on stage on a gurney, and a sheet is removed, and you actually see the wounds on his body. Whoa. It was very effective as a theatrical moment. I have to admit, regardless of my politics, that I was a little taken aback by it.
Sounds rather graphic.
It was very, very graphic. Of course, any production of Julius Caesar is very graphic. You're not going to do a play like Julius Caesar if you don't want to do the blood and
guts.
Right. But on the, you know, this is where the question sort of diverges between a political question and an aesthetic question, and whether it works as a play and in service of the play's themes versus whether it's something that ought to be done now. And one can have different opinions about those two questions.
I wonder, though, maybe to Kyle Smith's point about the depiction of Julius Caesar, that speech, or you're talking about the Friends, Romans, Countrymen speech, right?
Yes.
Okay. So I wonder maybe to that point, maybe to Kyle's point about the production, not so much about it being boring, because it's Julius Caesar, and that Julius Caesar's never boring, but it does seem an odd comparison. I mean, that speech from Mark Antony, and I'm putting on my theater student hat, is meant to lionize Caesar. He's basically smacking back at Brutus, saying we killed him for being too ambitious. You know, Antony says, "You all did love him once, not without cause. What cause withholds you then to mourn for him? O judgment, thou art fled to brutish beasts, and men have lost their reason. Bear with me, my heart is in the coffin there with Caesar, and I must pause till it come back to me." He is telling people, we have murdered this man who you loved for the wrong reasons. Doesn't that create a problem when you use a work of art like this to paint the president in a light that should be more laudatory for the moment, but never really is?
Well, it's certainly not a well-fitting garment, this interpretation. And particularly after Caesar's death, as I've said and as I criticized the production for, it doesn't always hold together as a contemporary allegory. But there's other things the play starts to do once that story begins to fade. And in that way, the oration of Mark Antony in particular is a kind of vivid demonstration of demagoguery as we all immediately recognize it. Now, you wouldn't have to do Julius Caesar as a Trump play to get that. It's in the play anyway, and maybe that's part of Kyle's point. We don't always need these signposts to show us. Nevertheless, the public theater undoubtedly wanted to get attention it feels is needed to this subject and chose a very dramatic way of doing it. So if it doesn't fit perfectly aesthetically, that's only part of their mandate.
It's worth noting that part of the controversy over this was kind of kicked up by Donald Trump Jr., the president's son. He tweeted over the weekend, quote, "I wonder how much of this art," in quotes, "is funded by taxpayers. When does art become political speech, and does that change things?" Unquote. That's from Donald Trump Jr. Now, the National Endowment for the Arts says that none of its funds were going to the public theater's Julius Caesar production. Interestingly enough, a reporter for the Washington Post pointed out that Donald Trump's very first donation from his Trump Foundation 30 years ago was to the Shakespeare Festival at the New York Public Theater. Professor Lawton, how much does the funding aspect of this play into this whole debate? Is this just kind of a way of threatening controversial productions by saying, we'll take away your funding?
Well, if it is, that's horrifying. The question of funding, how it plays is, you know, organizations, you know, corporate America has a right to fund whomever they feel aligns with their values. And I strongly support that, you know, as a playwright who gets produced and, you know, the theaters receive funding from individuals and corporations, and that's fantastic. What becomes tricky is in a situation like with Delta, who did support the production of Julius Caesar at the Guthrie, where the portrayal of Julius Caesar was likened to Obama. They didn't remove their funding then, but they are removing their funding now, which is inconsistent. And it makes me wonder about the articulation of their values and the intent of their values, because as we know, our core and practicing values are ones that we should be able to stand up for, against, and scream and yell and defend in the rain, sleet, hail, or storm, you know? And if you do change your mind about something, there's got to be an explanation for that. There's got to be a conversation around that. And so far, I haven't seen that. I haven't seen Delta or Bank of America or American Express, which on Monday said that it does not condone the production, state what has shifted in their values. So that's the place where I stand with regards to funding. Organizations have the right to fund whomever they want as it aligns with their values, but the articulation of their values, you know, we want that to be consistent so we understand the playing field.
Mike, I wonder how all of this political climate, affects the nature of the work that you do. We heard from a few artists about the way today's politics affects their work today, including this woman who left a message in our inbox.
Hi, this is Kathy. I'm an oil painter, and before the inauguration, I had been painting all sorts of still lifes, like candies, etc. And after the inauguration, I just felt I had to change the direction in my art. And now I'm painting a long painting of the Women's March. And it's very inspiring and therapeutic and beautiful. And I can't wait till it's finished, but I'm taking the time to do it right.
Kathy, thanks for the voicemail. Mike, how much of your art today do you think speaks to the political climate? And how much of it is, as Kathy put it, therapeutic?
The work that I do is history-based, documentary work based in things that have happened in American history, more specifically African-American history. And so before November, I would find that my audiences were asking questions specifically about the history and the civil rights movement. Now some of my first questions are about this administration, about specifically Donald Trump, and how I feel about the work that I do, and how can they get involved, and what can they do to push back against what seems to them some authoritarian figure or policies. It's made my work more important. My work was important before because, again, it's based in history. It's telling people that we've been here before and we've worked our way through it with hope, with love, with activism. Now, I believe that is still true, but now I'm speaking to younger audiences, and those younger audiences are now the front lines and taking this work, whether it is through their own activism or whether it's creating theater themselves. They know now that they are the ones who have to take this light.
You know, Mike, I wonder if maybe there's something to this idea of, since you said you're speaking to younger audiences, I wonder if maybe speaking to the audience is part of the issue with this production. Here's another voicemail that was left in our inbox.
Hi, my name is Donna. I'm calling from Cape Cod, Massachusetts. I like to think that art serves a purpose to educate, to inform, but also to ask questions. So I appreciate the creative choices made by this production of Julius Caesar and its depiction of Donald Trump. However, I'd like to think there's an opportunity to ask questions of the audience and not simply tell them what to think. Perhaps this production might have had a more effective impact had they left that question unanswered.
Donna, thanks for bringing that up. Jesse, do we know about how the public theater was engaging audiences other than this production? Were there discussions about their depiction of Julius Caesar? Were there programs for schools where maybe it was more of a dialogue than just load in the audience, perform, and then strike the set and clear the house?
Well, I disagree with the premise. I think the production, in fact, asks more questions than it answers. So whether or not they did any ancillary activities around the play, and let's keep in mind it's only a 4-week run, 3 weeks of which are already finished. The play itself, in effect, does that by just relentlessly in the second half, after Caesar is dead, showing you a story that makes you wonder. It made me wonder. Seriously, sitting there, I thought, oh, this is about what do I need to do? How do I think about this? What do I do with my anger about this current circumstance? And some of what I feel about this circumstance and some of my anger, is it well motivated? Or is some of it perhaps not well motivated, as is the case among some of the conspirators? And what would be the effects if my anger or somebody else's anger were carried out? So I don't have an answer to your specific question. In general, the public does tremendous amounts of classroom work and talkbacks and things like that. I just can't say whether they did with this show in particular.
Triangle Man tweeted us, is your guest, and Kyle, I think this is directed at you. Triangle Man tweeted us, is your guest actually saying, why is art talking about the biggest thing happening in the country?
There's a clear, bright line that's been crossed, as I saw with Kathy Griffin. All these artists are very left-wing and subversive, and Oscar Eustace, the director of Julius Caesar, calls himself a Marxist, and they're all having their fun, making fun of Trump. But the line is, if you're going to depict the violent assassination of Donald Trump or the severed head of Donald Trump, you're on your own, because corporate America is not going to stand for that. They're not going to come behind you. Bank of America is not going to stand for that. And if you care at all about public subsidies for the arts, like the National Endowment for the Arts, the NEA right now stands in danger of being zeroed out in funding. The last thing you want is any controversial stuff being remotely associated with the NEA, which does fund the public theater, did not fund this particular production.
But that sounds like a threat. That sounds like, because remember, there was a production of Julius Caesar that depicted Barack Obama in the Caesar role. So are we...
I'm so tired of that line.
But it's
true.
That production
was so obscure, even Jesse Green hadn't heard of it.
Hold on a second. We're low on time for the hour, but I just want to make sure that I'm not misconstruing your point. You don't seem to have as much of a problem with the production depicting Barack Obama as Julius Caesar as the production depicting Donald Trump. Say again?
Nobody even saw that production. No one had heard of it until the day before yesterday. And the New York Times critic was a freelancer who reviewed it. He didn't even mention Obama in his review. It was not obviously about
Obama. So if Barack Obama falls on the stage as Julius Caesar and no one is around to see it, it doesn't make a sound. Is that what you're saying?
A, no one saw it. B, it's not clear that it was about Obama. The New York Times reviewer of that play didn't even mention Obama in his review. It's not obviously about Obama just because it was about a well-dressed black man in that role and another well-dressed black man played Mark Antony.
Jesse, can you speak to the review a little bit more briefly before we're out of time this hour?
I have. This was before my tenure at the Times.
Okay.
I am not familiar with that review, but there was a review of it in the American Conservative that itself described the character as an Obama-like character.
As an Obama-like character.
Yes.
Professor Lawton, where do we go from here with all of this? It's hard to see how productions of this nature are going to go away. Where do you see this going from here?
Well, and they shouldn't go away. Where I see this going from here is great conversation, not to dissuade or disregard artistic choices and artistic expression, but to dig deeper and ask the social relevancy question of why this play, why now, why this moment, and what can we learn from it, and allow yourself to be deeply uncomfortable with the answer. We always have to move. It's about moving forward, and it's about being in deep dialogue, and it's about having critical analysis that engages you deeper in a discussion around who we are as people in the exploration of the human condition, which the theater does so brilliantly. It allows us to see all of our flaws, all of our weaknesses, and what better place to do that than the theater, because that's where we have, you know, breath to breath, body to body explorations happening. So if we stop doing this, why? That makes absolutely no sense to me.
And Jesse, before we're out of time, do we see any lingering effects of this controversy on the public theater, these sponsors pulling out? This isn't crippling to the public theater, is it? It's kind of a blip on the radar, or is this a larger concern, briefly?
It's a blip on the radar, and already they are making up the lost money from donations from people who are angry about the removal of those sources of funding. The NEA had nothing, very little to do with the public in the first place. Most of the funds for the public come from the state and city and from private donations and corporations.
That's Jesse Green, co-chief theater critic for the New York Times. Jesse, thanks for talking to us.
Thank you.
Kyle Smith, the critic at large for the National Review and theater critic for the New Criterion. Kyle, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Actor and playwright Mike Wiley. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
And UNC Chapel Hill professor of playwriting Jacqueline Lawton. Professor, thanks very much.
Thank you so much.
Remember to send us your stories about how a social media influencer persuaded you to try a product, 855-236-1A1A, or email 1A at WAMU.org. This program comes to you from WAMU, part of American University in Washington, distributed by NPR. Until we meet again, I'm Joshua Johnson. Thank you so much for listening. This is 1A.